Three Green Bay Packers players have been voted to the Pro Bowl. We'll reveal them and maybe some snubs. And we'll ask Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com about a lot more than just the Pro Bowl. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the Pro Bowl and a whole lot more. Taking one look back at the Bears game and then ahead to the Minnesota Vikings. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today.
Expert interview.
We have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us as he does every Wednesday during the season. Nathan, how you doing today?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. As always, thanks for joining us. And Nathan, I have to start with Ty Montgomery. Can you go over some of the statistics that have him ranked at or near the top of the league among running backs? Because I think that's really remarkable for a guy still learning the position.
Sure, I agree with you there. He has 60 carries on the year, and on that he's been averaging 6.5 yards per carry, 5.6 yards coming after contact. So that's a very high for a running back. There are backs who are averaging between 5.5 and 6 yards per carry on a decent number of attempts, but no one is anywhere close to that. 5.6 yards after contact per attempt. So he's doing really good running with the ball when he's been given that opportunity. To no surprise, he's also been grading out receiving since he was a wide receiver. He hasn't made as much of an impact there in recent weeks, only seeing a couple catches per game. So his grade receiving more comes earlier when he was seeing those 10 catch games. But he has caught 37 of 39 passes thrown his way. Made a few players miss after the catch there, so he's graded well as a receiver. And then even when he's been trusted to stay in and pass protect, he hasn't allowed a single pressure yet this year, so he's graded well as a pass blocker as well. So this has been a year where there's a couple really good backs, but really a lot of teams are using that running back by committee where some players are good at one thing, some are good at another. And so far, Montgomery has been good at everything that you would ask a running back to do. So when you add that all together, he's been among one of the better running backs this year.
Yes, absolutely. All this in light of the best game of his young career from the running back position this past Sunday against the Chicago Bears with over 160 yards. But also, Nathan, obviously the play from Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson late in the game was huge. Can you discuss how much Aaron Rodgers has improved in his deep passing since the beginning of the season? I think that was one of his faults early on.
Sure. Just looking at the numbers from over the first 10 weeks of the season to the last five, it's pretty night and day there. Over those first 10 weeks, he completed just 9 of 44 deep pass attempts for 288 yards, which that was 26th most out of quarterbacks over those first 10 weeks. Just two touchdowns, also had two interceptions, where over the last 5 weeks, he's completed 11 of 28 deep passes. So more completions on fewer attempts, 372 yards, which that's third most, four touchdowns, no interceptions. So all of those are better numbers. And I should mention, I'm defining deep passes as any pass where the quarterback threw 20 or more yards in the air. And also, I should mention that he's had a couple of deep passes dropped, so he's been even more accurate than those numbers show. So that's been a huge help for the Packers offense these past few weeks.
And obviously, the huge gain that set up the game-winning field goal against the Chicago Bears. Nathan, I saw that Jared Cook had his highest-graded game of the season against the Bears by Pro Football Focus. Can you sum up his performance? Because I thought he had some really poor performances, maybe not against the Bears and the Seahawks, but the previous few weeks, so he's kind of turning around.
Sure, this was his second game where he's had six catches for the Packers. Went for a nice 85 yards. Four of those catches went for first down, so it was really just a nice performance receiving the ball. And I know the last few weeks, he hadn't had nearly as many catches or targets. So while I might not call them all bad performances, since he wasn't really hurting the team, he just really wasn't as involved in the pass game those weeks. And over the course of the entire season, he's been an average blocker. So, in a time where plenty of tight ends have been doing a poor job blocking both in the run game and pass game, he's been consistently all right there. So, in this game, he just was on the field more, which led to more targets and more production.
Yeah, they need him on the field more. I also saw that David Bakhtiari graded out as the top tackle in the NFL this past week. With the Pro Bowl team being named this week, did he deserve to make it?
I think he deserved to make it. We currently have him graded out as the third best tackle in the NFL, second best in the NFC, just behind Trent Williams. On the season, he's allowed just 16 pressures on the year, which averages out to just over one pressure allowed per game, which is excellent for a left tackle. The Packers have fewer quick passes and screens than other teams, so in general, his job in pass protection is a little more difficult than other left tackles throughout the league. And then his run blocking has been much improved from previous seasons. I wouldn't call him a great run blocker, which is probably what separates Trent Williams from the other tackles this year, but he's still been very good there. So I would probably say him missing the Pro Bowl is the Packers' biggest snub.
We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Nathan, on the defensive side, I'm curious, how did Ha Ha Clinton Dix grade out this past week against the Bears? Because it's not like his two interceptions were really great plays.
Sure. He did grade out fairly well in this game. The two interceptions, like you said, they were still good plays that he was able to make the interception, but we've seen more impressive interceptions out of him and out of other players. So they didn't grade as well as other interceptions, but they were still positively graded. There wasn't much else on the stat sheet for him, but there were a couple other good plays, especially in the run game. A few early on in the first half where he was able to beat a block, make the running back force a cut to a different direction, which always helps the run defense there. And then later on in the game, he had a tackle for no gain. It was taken back due to a penalty that was unrelated to what he did, but so it doesn't show up on the stats, but still shows up in our grades. A few plays in there where he didn't do as well, but there was definitely more good out of bad. And anytime you have that out of a safety, it leads to a good game from them.
Yeah, he, of course, making his first Pro Bowl. We'll get more into the Pro Bowl players a little bit later on the show. Nathan, I also think we should acknowledge the good play by Micah Hyde, someone we don't really talk about on a week-to-week basis. Was this his best game of the season?
I don't think I'd call it his best game of the season. He had a couple really early on that were good, but it was probably his best game in a good 2 months or so. Started out as the dime back and then took over the slot cornerback role after Randall got benched, which moved Rollins outside. He had that interception at the end of the half, and then after that, he really wasn't involved until very late in the game. Had a couple plays in a row that weren't as good. A play where the receiver dropped the ball after Hyde was beat, allowed a first down, allowed another first down on a play got pecked by penalty. But then after that, he had a pass breakup, which helped made up for all of those things on a third down. So he had the interception and pass breakup and really didn't allow too many poor plays. So it was his best game in coverage in a while, and he really wasn't involved in the run game. So his coverage grade made his grade.
Speaking of the secondary, I know both Demarius Randle and Quinton Rollins really struggled against the Chicago Bears. Do you think one played any worse than the other?
Yeah, I would go that Randall had the worst game of the two. He allowed two touchdowns, six first downs. One of the first downs he allowed, he missed a tackle, and then he also had a defensive holding, which you could count as another pass allowed almost. And then a play where he was beat and the receiver just dropped it. So he was fairly consistently making poor plays where Rollins didn't allow any touchdowns. He did allow several first downs. But there were also some plays where he allowed catches and then the receiver didn't make that many yards. So even though it adds to the catches he had allowed and adds to the yards he had allowed, it didn't, they were still plays that weren't really a win for the offense or defense. So they weren't graded poorly there. So Randall was more consistently having poor plays, where Rylan's not so much.
Yeah, unfortunately, that had to happen. Hopefully, he just improves from here on out. Nathan, looking ahead, we know Adrian Peterson is back now as the Packers prepare to take on the Vikings on Saturday. Is there anything else about the Vikings the Packers need to be aware of since the first time they met in the season?
Sure. First off, one of the biggest differences is three-fifths of their offensive line is different from where it was in that week two matchup. So the Packers should be able to get a better pass rush than they had. Bradford, that was his first game, and that was also his best game of the season. He's had some good games here and there, but he's gotten progressively worse as the season's gone on. Then when the Vikings are on defense, for the most part, they're still good there and just coming off of a bad game against the Colts, but they're still one of the better defenses in the league. They lost Harrison Smith at one point. He's one of the better safeties in the NFL, so that hasn't helped their defense, but they're still strong in the run game, so it will be difficult for Ty Montgomery to repeat his performance. And then they have three good cornerbacks, which should make things interesting for the Packers offense, but the Vikings have been trending downwards and the Packers upwards, so it'll still be an interesting division rivalry game.
There is a lot on the line for both the Packers and the Vikings, really, this game. Nathan, before we let you go, we are now just a few days away from Christmas, and for people out there who may still be shopping for friends or loved ones, can you tell us about giving the gift of Pro Football Focus and how a year subscription doesn't end with the end of the 2016 season?
Sure. So the player grades product that we have is probably the best gift that you can give this holiday season. It is $30 and lasts for an entire year. So if you get it today, it'll last you till December 21st, 2017. With that, you can see the grades that we give to every player over the course of this past season. Can see their grade broken down, not just to overall, but each different area of play, their pass game, their run game, blocking. Run defense, pass defense as well. We also have how many snaps everyone's been playing. And then we also have depth charts for each team, which are a little different than depth charts you'll see elsewhere. Since we know different teams use different formations, so we have depth charts for each of their most used formations. So you can see for the Packers, not just who they have in their base defense, but who they have in their dime defense as well. Since that's different both in terms of their defensive line, their pass rushers, their defensive backs. So we take that into account as well. So $30 and that lasts you for an entire calendar year.
Nathan, sounds good. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy the holiday. We'll talk to you next Wednesday to break this Vikings game down, all right?
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
Yep. Thank you to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Okay, we'll get to the big Pro Bowl news in a moment, but seeing as we didn't have a show on Monday, I was on the road and traveling. I just briefly wanted to go through my chips report. It's kind of a weekly thing on the show, so I didn't want to snub it entirely. We'll get to the Pro Bowl in a second. Okay, but if in case you were wondering, who were my blue chip performers from the Packers win over the Chicago Bears? One goes to Ty Montgomery, the best game of his young career as a running back. The total was 162 yards on 16 carries. So that's an average of over 10 yards per carry, 10.1 to be precise. He had a long of 61 yards on the ground and found the end zone twice, which had been an adventure for other running backs on the roster coming into the game. But this was amazing considering how relatively inexperienced Ty Montgomery was at the position. You could make the argument he was the best running back in the NFL this past week, which let that sink in for a second. That is remarkable. How many people in the world would give to be the best running back in the entire NFL on any given week? And yeah, so in fact, Ty Montgomery was nominated for the NFL's Ground Player of the Week, which I believe will be announced either Thursday or Friday. So you can vote on it right now. And this has all brought balance back to the Packers offense for, in the immediate aftermath of Eddie Lacy's injury and James Starks wasn't doing well, there was not much of a ground game to speak of. And I never thought, would really get back to this point. I was very, if you listen to the show, I was very encouraged by what Ty Montgomery could do. But, I just wasn't sure it would happen, so fast. I thought he really needed a lot more practice. And he still does to become refined at the position. But what he's doing is simply amazing. And that was a remarkable display of football ability in its many forms on this past Sunday. Your other blue chip player, I'm going with Jordy Nelson on this one. Obviously, it's on the strength of his 160-yard catch that set up the game-winning field goal. But Jordy Nelson did lead the team with 7 catches on the day for 124 yards in total. And I'm finally starting to believe he's fully recovered from the knee injury by being able to get deep in man coverage. It might be 99.9% now, but I'll take that. Jordy Nelson is getting the job done, and on Sunday he did it both by getting deep and by doing it all the other ways. The back shoulder throws, the contested catches, the stuff over the middle. He did it all and he looked good. I mean, he looked back to his old self by being, I mean, it's we hadn't really this season seen him get beat deep and beat man coverage. I know he had one other long reception this year that kind of looked like blown coverage, but this time it was just mano a mano, and he did it with no safety help over the top. And I mean, you could argue the Bears should have had safety help over the top. But Jordy Nelson, taking advantage regardless. He to me gets the other blue chip from this game. In your red chip category, the good but maybe not great, one of them goes to Micah Hyde, who we discussed already with Nathan Yonke. But he would get it from me for the big play at the goal line at the end of the game alone in the fourth quarter there, at the end of the fourth quarter. But he did really have a good game all around. Hyde also, of course, came up with the interception on the Hail Mary to end the first half. But he only allowed 2 of 5 passes to be completed his way for the entire game for a total of 12 yards. And even though he didn't do anything special on punt returns, he was at least sure-handed on his one attempt that he got. And that's not easy on a day like it was at Soldier Field with how cold it was. That kind of goes overlooked. So Micah Hyde, very deserving of a red chip. I thought perhaps his best game of the season. Nathan Yonke might argue he had one earlier in the year that might have been better. But, that breakup on the goal line was absolutely huge. I mean, that could have been the game-winning touchdown, and Micah Hyde prevented it. The other one for me goes to Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix, and you could certainly argue that maybe Aaron Rodgers deserved the other red chip or maybe even Jared Cook. But I went with Clinton-Dix because of the 2 turnovers, which I know were overthrown, and he didn't really do anything special to grab them. But he made the play, and that was crucial. If Clinton-Dix drops even one of those 2 interceptions, I'm not sure the Packers win that game. But he didn't. He intercepted both of them, and he didn't allow a single pass to be completed in his territory all day to go along with solid run support. He also played the most snaps of anybody on the roster. I believe he was tied with Morgan Burnett when you count defense and special teams combined. So you add it all up, Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix, fantastic performance against the Chicago Bears. He is a red chip performer in this game. Your cow chips, one of them goes to Demaryius Randall, who we already talked about, likewise with Nathan Yonke. The low light on the day was getting ran over by the Bears receiver for a touchdown, and it wasn't Alshon Jeffrey, you know, just getting beat by one of the guys down the depth chart. It seemed like Randall's coverage was far too soft on that play. Even if the Packers were leading, it was down near the goal line in a compressed field. He should have been playing tighter. And giving up the reception, the Packers could live with that, but he's got to make a better attempt at a tackle. And of course, he gave up several other receptions too. He gave up two touchdowns on the day. And he was taken out of the game in the fourth quarter by the coaches. You wonder if he's still not 100% after his surgery earlier this season. But, you know, that sure didn't seem to be a problem the previous week when he had two interceptions. Demaryius Randall just really needs to focus. He's the most athletic of the corners they've got out there on the field. You can see that. But there are several times when he's just not set at the snap of the football. He's kind of moving around, and I'm not sure if he's just trying to get a running start sometimes. It's so weird. He just really, there's a lot Demaryius Randall needs to do to become one of the best corners in the NFL. And you know what? He can do it because the athletic ability and the playmaking ability is there. You need that to be the best. You got to be the type of guy who breaks on footballs and grabs interceptions, and he can do that. We've seen that several times. But he's got to start playing more disciplined, lot more discipline out there in the field. So. And not being so streaky where it's a good game one day and a bad game the next. Got to be more consistent if you're Demaryius Randall. And the other cow chip goes to Davante Adams. Two drops in the end zone, you just can't do it. Those are points coming right off the scoreboard. I know the Packers still got a field goal on one of those possessions, but still, I'm sure it drove you crazy. It drove me crazy watching the game. And he only had two other catches on the day. One of them was all right. The other was just modest, and it was not enough to make up for two drops in the end zone. It's disappointing for a guy who made major strides in 2016, but this was definitely among his worst days. And you know what? I know there were other times, too, where they kind of showed, you know, isolation shots of Davante Adams on plays where Aaron Rodgers was kind of buying time with his feet outside the pocket and Randall still wasn't getting open. Adams still wasn't getting open. Cow chip performer for this game. And hopefully it's disappointing for a guy that did, you know, make so much improvement, but there was no improvement this day. These are the plays he's got to make to become Pro Bowl caliber, and that kind of makes a good segue here. Enough rehashing this Bears game that's now, you know, 3 days old, and talk about the players that were selected to the Pro Bowl for the Packers. There was three of them: Aaron Rodgers, TJ Lang, and HaHa Clinn Dix. For Aaron Rodgers, it was his sixth Pro Bowl, and he deserves it for the turnaround he had. You know, coming up on the midway point in the season, I'm not sure he would be in this position right now. There, you know, the first half of the season, he had a good game or two and a couple average games, but there was just some stinkers in there as well. And, you know, it was as much his fault as almost anybody's when the Packers were mired in that four-game losing streak at the time. But he has so much turned it around from midseason onward. And, you know, and the season's not even over. I mean, still two games to go, and he could really do some special things here the next 2 weeks. Aaron Rodgers totally deserves it, even though he's not the starter in the Pro Bowl. One of the other guys who got their first nod to a Pro Bowl ever was offensive lineman TJ Lang, a guard, a great honor for a longtime veteran who's been playing the game at a high level. Like I talked on the show last week, remarkable that he came back from the broken bone in his foot after just missing three games. He's really played well and really solidified things. And really, you know what, when the Packers got rid of, Josh Sitton, it said a lot about how much they trusted TJ Lang. You have to wonder if he's coming up on a nice contract extension during the off season. We'll see there, but congratulations on his first Pro Bowl. And also, Ha Ha Clindix's first time as a Pro Bowler. We just talked about him. I wasn't sure he was going to make it because he didn't really have the turnover numbers coming into this past Sunday's game. Now he has a career high 5 interceptions on the season, but the Pro Bowl voting actually ended before this past Sunday. So that's why I really didn't think he would make it. And now, kind of after this game, I kind of am more in line with, yeah, he deserves it. I still think there's room for Ha Ha Clindix to grow as a safety, which is scary how much better he could still be. I think there's a lot of games where he's kind of invisible out there and he needs to make his presence known. But think how much he's grown since his rookie year. And I mean, he came into the NFL as a talented player, a first-round draft choice. But you could remember how much of a liability he was as a tackler that rookie year when he would dip his head and miss tackles. And those have almost completely gone away at this point. Every player still misses a tackle here and there. But the amount that they've gone away, has been truly fantastic. So, great to see his growth as a player and finally starting to create turnovers as well. There weren't a whole lot of turnovers Clindix's first 2 years, and now he's got 5 with 2 games to go. Congratulations for his first nod. Obviously, it's an honor, I'm sure, for the players who got voted in. The news, though, is also today about who got snubbed. It is important to note, however, that 2 players were first alternates, and those were wide receiver Jordy Nelson and offensive lineman David Bakhtiari, each of whom you could argue deserved to be in the Pro Bowl. Jordy Nelson, after all, leads the league in receiving touchdowns, and many have argued that he deserves to be the league's comeback player of the year. We'll see if he wins that or not after the season. And with the way players, drop out of the Pro Bowl, these guys might still make it. We talked with Nathan Jahnke earlier about how good David Bakhtiari was doing and, how he deserves to be there. And then there's Mike Daniels, who just doesn't get the credit he deserves because he doesn't put up the big sack numbers. But we know his worth goes far beyond statistics. If he didn't make it this year, I'm not sure if he'll ever make it. Maybe he still will. I mean, he's a second alternate for the Pro Bowl this year. I wish he would get it just because he's such a fantastic player. But yeah, a couple other second alternates for the Pro Bowl. I know Aaron Ripkowski was one of him, which is nice for a guy in only a second year in the NFL. Obviously, when you're getting to be a second alternate, you're a lot further down the pro. Down the totem pole, and I'm not sure if they'll make it or not. But anyway, there's kind of your Pro Bowl wrap up, and just one more small piece of news here. The Packers signed a player to the practice squad on Tuesday. That was wide receiver Max McCaffrey, the brother of the more heralded Christian McCaffrey, the Stanford running back, who recently announced he'd be entering the NFL draft and even more recently announced that he won't be playing in his team's bowl game, the Sun Bowl, which has kind of got a lot of attention as he's not the only player who's done that. But we're not going to debate that on this show. We probably could have a nice lengthy discussion about that. They're having plenty of talk about that on the network television like ESPN and stuff like that. But anyway, I think this is a nice signing for the practice squad late in the year. Maybe if he's good enough, somebody you keep on the roster throughout the off season and bring him in next year. Obviously good bloodlines there. Not only is his brother Christian McCaffrey, his brother's longtime NFL veteran, Ed McCaffrey. You know, there's a lot of talent there, and maybe Max is kind of the worst of the family, and I don't mean to disparage him at all. He had a very nice career at Duke University as part of that school's renaissance there under David Cutcliffe, and he was a big part of that prior to this year. So he did some very nice things there at the college level. So no chopped liver whatsoever. So hopefully the Packers, you know, find something here. Obviously, he's not going to make an impact on the 53-man roster, but a nice guy to see what they've got in him. And that leads us into the next segment.
The day ahead.
All right, so Mike McCarthy said in his press conference earlier this week that the plan was for a low workload in practice this week as we, you know, now getting down to practice time and preparations for the Minnesota Vikings. And you know what? That makes sense, the low workload, because of the short turnaround, just a six-day week here, because the Packers play on Christmas Eve on a Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings, early kick time too, a noon start here. So that they're going to, you know, probably not have very long practices this week. They don't want to be too taxing on these guys. And, you know, this is the time of year, you know, now they're, you know, more than three quarters of the way through the season. This is the time they don't need so much practice anyway. They need to get their bodies right. And speaking of that, the Packers will also release their first injury report of the week on Sunday. And we're, of course, monitoring quarterback Aaron Rodgers. You know, I think a lot of people were perhaps concerned coming out of the Chicago game because he was forced to run several times and it looked like he was limping a little bit. And, you know, being out in that cold weather, you wondered if, you know, maybe those muscles weren't getting loose. But Rodgers himself told the media yesterday he's better coming out of the Chicago game than he was going into it. He even used the term, he used the term 100%, not that he's 100% right now, but that he'll be closer to it heading into the Vikings game. I think there were a lot of people being like, oh, maybe he suffered a setback in this game. Doesn't appear to be the case, because even though he was limping, he was able to run around and do what he needed to do this past Sunday, and went the full length of the game. So, you know, I can certainly buy that, but we'll continue to monitor it. And there was also good news when Mike McCarthy didn't express any concern about either offensive lineman TJ Lang or Lane Taylor, both of whom had to come out of the game this past Sunday in the fourth quarter. You might remember, neither were on the field for that long 60-yard reception from Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson. They were both sidelined at the time, as Don Barclay and Jason Spriggs had to come into the game. And you almost worry, be like, oh man, the Packers offense isn't going to be able to do a whole lot with two starters out and two starters, you know, two backups in on the offensive line. But they got away with it, and that's good. They did a good job, the backups, for the brief amount of time they were on the field. So we'll see if these offensive linemen are on the injury report on Wednesday. And in the talk show circuit, linebacker Joe Thomas is the player guest on Green Bay Nation on the CBS affiliate WFRV Channel 5 in Titletown on Wednesday evening. That's at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. It's on other affiliates around the state later in the week. But you can catch it Wednesday evening if you live in the greater Green Bay area. And that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you everybody so much for joining us today. Thanks to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com for being our guest. I actually have kind of excited for Friday's show. Have an interview all lined up with, of all people, my brother, Pete Caravu. We're going to talk about the 1985 Snow Bowl for the Green Bay Packers. I thought that was appropriate around Christmas time. We're at the time of year where winter weather is affecting games. So we're going to take a look back in time and talk to somebody who was at the Snow Bowl for the Green Bay Packers way back when. I'm excited to relay that story. We'll get to that on Friday as we also preview the Vikings game a little bit more in depth. And that'll do it. My call to action, as usual, if you haven't done so already, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could do us a solid, head to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star rating, brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long. Consider it your Christmas present to Railbird Central if you haven't already. And those of you who have, I know there's a lot of you. Thank you to those who do. We've got more reviews than any other Packers podcast on iTunes, and I take pride in that, there's a lot of people listening and a lot of people liking it. So thanks a lot, because it helps us get word out about the show, and it's a service to Packers fans. We'll see you Friday, folks. Have a good Wednesday. Talk to you in just a few days. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caribou. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by the String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go.